Well, good morning, friends. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to see you here in the sanctuary. Welcome to those of you that are watching online. Welcome to our first Sunday in Lent. I pray that this worship service is a blessing to you. We are continuing on with our series on Les Miserables, as you can see on the screen behind me. We started this series on Ash Wednesday, on Wednesday night. And this morning, Brother Hammett is going to preach on the concept of grace and the abundant grace that God pours out into our lives. When you have an opportunity, please take a moment and log your attendance. You can do that two ways here in person. You can fill out the Connect tab that's in your bulletin, or you can scan the QR code that's back here on the back side of your bulletin. That QR code will also open a door for you that will show you everything that's going on here at Asbury. It's an opportunity to log prayer requests, to sign up for events that we have upcoming, such as our next United to Serve event, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in the service. If you're watching online, that QR code should be on your screen, and you can scan and join us in that way as well. With that, I just once again want to welcome you. Thank you for being with us this morning. I pray that this service is a blessing to you. Let's begin our time together by standing up and passing the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the sanctuary bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
Please stand and join me for our call to worship. It is found in your bulletin. Temptation surrounds us every day. Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven. Opportunities to stray litter our path. Happy are those whose sin is covered. Though we stumble and fall, God's mercy picks us up. God's grace brushes us off. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. God's love meets us here. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise this morning, Amazing Grace, number 378 in your hymnal. Amen. That was so beautifully sung by all of you. All the earth sings along with you, including a car whose alarm is going off in the parking lot. And that is a dark green Jeep. And so if that may be yours, you are welcome to go check that out. Please join me in our opening prayer, which is also found in your bulletin. Temptation surrounds us every day. Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven. Opportunities to stray litter our path. Happy are those whose sin is covered. Though we stumble and fall, God's mercy picks us up. God's grace brushes us off. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. God's love meets us here. Amen. Please be seated. And join me as we together go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we begin our journey through this Lenten season, help us to see the abundant grace that you pour onto all of us. Help us to see all the ways in which you bless us, the small ways and the big ways. Help us to see blessings in the moment and not just as we look back. Help us to see in this season the mighty act that Christ did for us on the cross. Help us to feel restored and reconciled. Help us to see our forgiveness. God, we pray today for all of those who are lost. We pray today for all of those, God, who have turned from you. During this season of Easter, may they be brought back home. We pray for all of those who are hurting, for all those who are in need of healing, of your love, of your mercy. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for Val Carr. We pray for Gene Hammett and Mark Schimmer. We pray for Edith Roberts and Hugh Roberts, for Gail Pulley, Arlen Thomas, Deborah Gangloff, and for Bob and Janie Clements. We also pray for God for all of those whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know and trust that you're at work in all of their lives in a mighty way, so we can do nothing but give you thanks and give you praise and glorify your name. We thank you above all else for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that he has done, is doing, and will do. We thank you for his victory over sin and death, the resurrection. We thank you as well for prayer, for this ability to come to you, God, with our burdens and with our joys, to bring them to you through Christ. And we thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer, which we'll now say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward for this time of offering, today's message is focused solely on grace, on God's grace. And it is because of God's grace that we are able to do all that we can do through our time, our gifts, our talents. And so during this season, this Easter season, I ask you to search in which ways God is moving you to participate in his kingdom. Inside your bulletin, you'll find two things this morning. One is an order form for the Easter lilies. And so this form has to be into the office by Sunday, April 2nd. You're welcome to fill that out now and drop it off in the offering plate. We also have our special Easter offering envelope as well, as we do every year. So if you are called to give above and beyond what is normal, we encourage you to do it that way. And now I would like to show a quick video as it relates to UMCOR for UMCOR Sunday, which is coming up on the 19th of March.
When disaster strikes, we all want to help. But when days are dark, you can't always be there to show the love of Jesus to the suffering. But someone should be there. And someone is. And you are the one who makes it happen. How? By your generous giving to UMCOR Sunday. Your support enables the United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, to act as the hands and feet of Christ, embracing and supporting those in need through their darkest days. Thanks to your gift on this special Sunday of the United Methodist Church, UMCOR is able to provide relief and long-term support for recovery. Not only do we provide immediate emergency assistance in the aftermath of a crisis, we also create sustainable solutions in the following months, even years of recovery, long after everyone else has gone home. Your gifts form a firm foundation, a base for operations from which UMCOR can reach and serve the hurting. Your giving enables UMCOR to keep the promise that all gifts given to help a specific cause go 100% toward meeting that need. For more than 75 years, UMCOR has met the needs of the suffering. And today, we continue that labor of love and service in 80 countries around the world. Thanks to you and your generous support through UMCOR Sunday, UMCOR will continue to be there this year to show the love of Christ to children, families, and communities when disaster strikes. Because together, we do more.
Most of us know of the beautiful work that UMCOR does. When there's a natural disaster, when there's a crisis, UMCOR is very often one of the first groups in and one of the last groups to leave. My kind of people. And so on Sunday, March 19th, we will have it'll be UMCOR Sunday. We're gonna do a special offering on that day. On March 12th is our next United to Serve event. We will have a potluck on that Sunday for lunch together, and we will put together blessing bags that we will give to UMCOR on the 19th as well. So it's wonderful to be part of that relationship, and we wanted to bring that to your attention and put that on your hearts as you pray about where God is calling you to meet that need in the coming weeks. Let us pray over this time of offering. Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks because we know that the blessings in our lives come from you. It's a blessing to be able to participate in the kingdom building process that you call us to. It's a blessing to be here in Little Rock, in this place and in this time. God, I have asked today that you help us to see where you are calling us to lead and serve in this time, and help that be reflected in all the ways in which we participate in the life of the church, including our financial giving. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And now a scripture reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. So in the same way that sin entered the world through one person, and death came through sin, so death spread to all human beings with the result that all sinned. Although sin was in the world, since there was no law, it wasn't taken into account until the law came. But death ruled from Adam until Moses, even over those who didn't sin in the same way Adam did. Adam was a type of the one who was coming. But the free gift of Christ isn't like Adam's failure. If many people died through what one person did wrong, God's grace is multiplied even more for many people with the gift of the one person, Jesus Christ, that comes through grace. The gift isn't like the consequences of one person's sin. The judgment that came from one person's sin led to punishment, but the free gift that came out of many failures led to the verdict of acquittal. If death ruled because of one person's failure, those who receive the multiplied grace and the gift of righteousness will even more certainly rule in life through the one person, Jesus Christ. So now the righteousness requirements necessary for life are met for everyone through the righteous act of one person, just as judgment fell on everyone through the failure of one person. Many people were made righteous through the obedience of one person, just as many people were made sinners through the disobedience of one person. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Amen. I invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading this morning is from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God." After that, the devil brought him into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down. For it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus replied, "Again, it's written, don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, "I'll give you all these if you bow down and worship me." Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil left him and angels came and took care of him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Nicole Rose up, our children's minister, and all the children to come forward for a special message.
Okay, I want to play a little game. Will you play a little game with me? What about Simon Says? Okay, we're going to do it just sitting. Is that okay? Okay. Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon Says, touch your ears. Simon Says, touch your head. Touch your nose. Oh, I tricked you. Okay, let's do it one more time. Ready? Simon Says, point to the sky. Simon Says, clap your hands once. Simon Says, clap your hands twice. Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon Says, touch your ears. Touch your nose. Oh, it's kind of hard, isn't it? You're right, Simon didn't say. Okay, so when we play Simon Says, we have to do whatever Simon says, right? Okay, so in our lives, in our real lives, it's kind of like that, but we want to do what the Bible says, okay? So in our gospel reading that we just heard, we heard about a time when Jesus was tempted to maybe do something that wasn't right, but he knew it wasn't right, and he said, nope, that's not what I should be doing. So he didn't do it because he knew the right thing to do. So that can happen to us too. Okay, so let's say maybe you're playing a game with somebody, okay, and another kid walks over and takes your toy away. How would that make you feel? Sad or mad? And you know what? What I might do is I might get mad and I might go over there and try to take something from them. But is that what we should do? No, the Bible tells us we should forgive. Or, here's another example, and this has happened to me. This has happened to me before. Maybe you were playing a game at home, really, really hard, you're running around, and you accidentally knock over a lamp, and it breaks. Would you be tempted to maybe blame it on your sibling? Because I have a sister that maybe I blamed stuff on. But you know what? We shouldn't do that because the Bible tells us to be honest and tell the truth, right? Okay, so I want you to remember, it's okay to be tempted, but what matters is what we actually decide to do. And we want to do what the Bible says to do.
We want to do what the Bible says to do.
That's right. Okay, do you want to pray together? Okay, let's pray together. Dear God, help us to do what Jesus did. Help us to do what the Bible tells us to do instead of listening to our temptations. We love you very much. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole. Well, welcome to Asbury. I'm glad that y'all are here, and it's nice to see y'all today, and welcome to those who are worshiping online with us as well. You should see a QR code there on your screen, and you can sign in and give and find out about upcoming events in the life of our church family there as well. I want to say a quick thank you to our tech folks who are back there in the booth. Y'all can't see all that's going on online, but I have thrown a lot at them to show a video clip here in the sanctuary and one online, and to do that two or three times in a service is pretty tricky, amen? But they are handling that like champs, and I appreciate them for doing that. I want to say, just before we get into the sermon proper, just a very brief word, just to say that, you know, as United Methodists, we believe that education is a basic human right for all children everywhere in the world. We believe that poor children, as well as wealthy children, should have the same access to high-quality education wherever they live, whether that's in a rural Arkansas or whether that's in the city. And so I encourage you. I've been praying about, you know, the bill that's going through our legislature right now, and I encourage you, if you feel strongly as I do about that, to make your voice known to our legislators. And please be in prayer for all of our teachers and all of our administrators and everybody to the custodian who works in our schools. I have never met in my entire life, I have never met a lazy educator. Amen? And so we need to keep them in our prayers and do all that we can to provide the resources that all of our children need for their education. So this Lent, our worship series is based on Les Miserables, and the story is set in 19th century France. The author of the book, Victor Hugo, said that the story is a progress from evil to good. Well, the hero of the story is an ex-convict named Jean Valjean, and today we're going to see what happened to him in his life that sent him on a journey from evil to good. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for being with us already in so many ways today. And we pray now that you will bless us once again with your Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. When I was serving down in Dallas County in the lovely town of Fordyce, Arkansas, I got a call early one morning from my secretary, and she was freaked out. She said that when she got to the church that morning, there was glass all over the floor outside her office, and she was terrified to go upstairs. And so I told her to call the police, and she did. Well, sure enough, we had a break-in the night before. The guy got into the church office and cut open the petty cash bag, and that wasn't, you know, too bad of a hit. But the worst thing was we had about $300 in change that our third graders had been raising for Imagine No Malaria. They had been saving change and going door to door to help kids in Africa. Well, their teacher was my friend Vita Calhoun, and I mentioned Vita Ash Wednesday. I'm going to tell another story about her next week. And then, Ash, if you ever want to know about Vita, Ashley Burks can tell you about her. She was a dear friend of hers as well. Vita was clearly one of the very best people I have ever known. And she had a very sweet and kind heart, a kind soul. She was the third grade Sunday school teacher for many years at Fordyce. When the burglary happened, she had already been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And so she was unable to come and teach anymore and attend worship. In fact, she was so near death that a friend of mine and I officiated Vita's funeral just a few months later.
So the worst part of the whole thing was having to call Vida and tell her that somebody had stolen the kids' money. But you see, God is in the business of bringing good from evil. Amen? Our insurance company covered what was stolen, and I promise you that the kids raised more money than they probably would have raised if the burglary had never happened. I remember, and I don't know if this is this way in Little Rock or not, but if you ever live in a small town like Fordyce, word starts going around, and folks get on the telephone and start spreading the word. And I remember once the word started getting around town that we had been burglarized, somebody called and asked me if they had broken into the sacristy and stolen the church's silver candlesticks. And that reminded me of Jean Valjean. Now, if you weren't here Wednesday night when we met this man, Jean Valjean was a prisoner. His sister and nephew were starving to death, and so he stole a loaf of bread. And for that, he got sent to prison for 4 years. Because he kept trying to escape, that 4-year sentence turned into a 19-year term of hard labor under the watchful eye of a guard named Javert. Valjean eventually was released, and his heart was filled with hope. He thought that he would be able to make a fresh start, but everywhere he went, he had to show his papers, papers telling everyone that he had been sent to prison. Nobody would hire him. Everywhere he went, he was harassed, beaten, and turned away. And when we are treated that way, we are tempted to become bitter and angry, resentful, and hopeless. And certainly that was the case for Jean Valjean. Until one night, he fell asleep in the cemetery outside a cathedral. And let's see what happened.
Hey!
Come and sir, for you are weary. And the night is cold out here. Though our lives are very humble, what we have to share. There is wine here to revive you. There is bread to make you strong. There's a bed to rest till morning. Rest from pain and rest from wrong.
Bless the food we eat today. Bless our dear sister and our honored guest.
Monseigneur, we have your silver. We caught this man red-handed.
You had the nerve to say you gave him this.
That is right. But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind.
You forgot.
I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind? Monsieur, release him. This man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing goes. with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for God.
That's something, isn't it? I mean, how could the bishop do that? How could he give such a precious gift to someone as undeserving as Jean Valjean? Have you ever received a gift like that? Well, of course you have. In the church, we call that grace. And grace is a word that we throw around a lot in church. We sing about it, we say it, but it's when you deserve wrath and instead you get rewarded. Of course, that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. When he gave his life for us, when we tried to take his life, he simply gave it for us. So what do you do with a gift like that? There have been very few times in my life when I've experienced that kind of grace outside of worship, but sometimes you do. I may have shared with some of you before that when I was a senior in high school, I just started my senior year, we were living in Jonesboro, we just moved there, but my orthodontist was down in Pine Bluff. And so once a month, I had to drive all the way from Jonesboro to Pine Bluff, about a 3-hour drive. And of course, back then, you know, we didn't have Bluetooth in our cars and stuff like that. What we had was cassette tapes. Y'all remember cassette tapes? And I'm not old enough to have 8-tracks. That's a little bit before my time. But I had a pile of cassettes that I would carry with me in my mom's car, because she had this great car, brand new, and had a great tape deck. So anyway, I'm driving down, and I get just south of Fair Oaks, and it came time to swap out my tape, because, you know, you don't have Random and Spotify and stuff like that. So I popped out the tape, and I reached down to swap it out, and when I looked up, there was an Arkansas Highway and Transportation dump truck that was right in front of me. And so I hit my brakes, and I swerved as hard as I could. Thank God there was nobody coming the other way. I bumped the truck, and I thought, well, I'll have a little dent, and I'll pull over. Next thing I know, I'm opening my eyes, and I'm in a ditch on the other side of the road. And the car looked like somebody had crushed a tin can around me. Basically, the only place that wasn't destroyed was where I was sitting. I get out of the car and I walked across the street and I asked the guys if they were okay, and they all were. And I said, "How's the dump truck?" And they said, "You ain't gonna hurt this dump truck, son." But mom's car was completely total. The police eventually came and they drove me up to this little gas station there at Fair Oaks, and they called my dad. And waiting on my father to drive from Jonesboro to 45 minutes to Fair Oaks is the longest 45 minutes of my life. I thought he was going to kill me. I wait, and finally he shows up, and he comes in, and he smiles at me, and he gives me a hug, and he says, "That's okay, son, we'll get the car fixed." And then he saw the car. I think one complete tire well was gone. I mean, just nowhere. And then Dad did something that I'll never forget. First of all, he burst into tears. And he hugged me really tight. And then he reached into his pocket. And he pulled out his car keys. Now, this was a Peugeot Turbo 505. Dad's car was the car that I only got to drive to prom and I think homecoming. And he hands his keys to me and he says, "Son, would you like to drive home?" Now, I can tell you that at that moment, there was no son on the planet that felt less worthy to drive his father's car. And yet, at the very same time, there was no son on the planet that felt more loved by his father. That is grace. Grace both judges us and sets us free, making us feel loved. So what do you do with a gift like that? A gift of unmerited, undeserved grace. Well, Valjean struggles with that question. It's kind of like there's an angel on one shoulder and the devil on another. And he struggles with it in the song, Valjean's Soliloquy.
What have I done, sweet Jesus? What have I done? Become a thief in the night, become a dog on the run. Have I fallen so far, and is the hour so late that nothing remains but the cry of my hate? The cries in the dark that nobody hears, here where I stand at the turning of the years. If there's another way to go, I missed it 20 long years ago. My life was a war that could never be won. They gave me a number and they murdered Valjean when they chained me and left me for dead, just for stealing a mouthful of bread. Yet why did I allow this man to touch my soul and teach me love? He treated me like any other. He gave me his trust. He called me brother. My life he claims for God above. Can such things be? For I had come to hate the world, this world that always hated me. Take an eye for an eye. Turn your heart into stone. This is all I have lived for. This is all I am now. One word from him and I'd be back beneath the lash upon the rack. Instead, he offers me my freedom. I feel my shame inside me like a knife. He told me that I have a soul. How does he know what spirit comes to move my life? Is there another way to go? I am reaching, but I fall, and the night is closing in. As I stare into the void, to the whirlpool of my sin, I'll escape now from that world, from the world of Jean Valjean. Jean Valjean is nothing now, under the sun.
Thank you.
Another story must begin in your life and in mine. And it's a story that we share with others by sharing the grace that we have received. Grace changes us. It transforms us from the inside out. It frees us from hate and revenge. It sets us on a new path of compassion and forgiveness and mercy. And I know somebody thinks, well, it ain't fair. And of course it isn't. Because if it were fair, it would not be grace. But grace is how God defeats evil. Paul says that we should too. Don't be defeated by evil, Paul writes, but defeat evil with good. So the Sunday after Fordyce First United Methodist Church was burglarized, I went and visited with the third grade children's Sunday school class. And I shared that very verse with them. Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good. And I asked the kids, I said, so what should we do if somebody steals from us? Would you believe what one of those little boys said? We should give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Let us stand now and affirm our faith through the words of the Canadian Creed, number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of commitment, number 402. If you'd like to become a part of our church family, you're welcome to do that on the singing of the last verse of Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. If you're joining us online, I'd love to visit with you sometime about how you can become a part of the Asbury Church family as well. Just shoot me an email. The number is there, or my email address is there on your screen. And don't forget to be praying for those three people or three families that you know who don't have a church home. We have some opportunities coming up in just about 4 or 5 weeks that will be great opportunities for you to invite them to come and worship here. Let's sing together. Let's sing verses 1 and 3 of Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, number 402. Thank you for joining us today. And you can, if you scan the QR code on your bulletin or on the screen, you can schedule to meet with Brother Nick or me. Just a quick reminder, we do have Stone Soup this afternoon. We'll meet over at Quapaw Quarter at 1:30, from about 1:30 to 4. Our Asbury Cleanup Day is coming up on March 4th. That's next Saturday. And you can sign up to do to work in particular areas around the church as well. As Nick mentioned earlier, we will have a potluck dinner on March the 12th, and that will be part of our Uniting to Serve events that we're having this year. We will be putting together UMCOR disaster kits that can be used in Arkansas and elsewhere around the world. That will be March 12th, immediately following the 11 o'clock service. Next Sunday, we will meet a woman that Jean Valjean encounters that also changes his life in a kind of a significant way. Her name is Fantine, and we'll be talking about when our dreams die, or when we suffer without warrant. So I invite you to come back for that next Sunday. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. We're so glad that you joined us today. If this service has blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. You can do that by sharing it on your Facebook page, or you can text or email the link. If this was your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways that you may follow up. Be sure to check out our website at the link below. Click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. There you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you a little bit better. You may also sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury there. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook and by subscribing to our YouTube page. Whoever you are and wherever you are always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You can find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, email me at the link below. I look forward to seeing you at Asbury.